grisly one.
Their own organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Sliwa from WABC Radio.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New York.
Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa. What happened today, why, and what's next? Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
Gabriel.
Yes, sir. Check. Hasta las 15 de la mañana.
Riva, riva, ande, ande.
This has become the theme song for the crook of all crooks, the capo di tutti of political corruption, Bobby Menendez. A crook when he was congressman representing Hudson County, the most corrupt Democratic county in New Jersey, maybe in all of America, and a double crook as a U.S. Senator representing New Jersey, on trial in federal court downtown Newark. Jury is deliberating. Before we get to Mike Kelly, columnist for The Record in New Jersey, on his observations of what's transpiring so far in the jury deliberations, I noticed that, yep, it's raining outside. It just came in. And please do not use that as one of 10,854 excuses why you're not going to go out and vote. Polling locations, I think, close at 9 in New York City, and I believe 8 o'clock over in New Jersey. I'm not quite sure about that. But don't use this as a slippery, slidey method of avoiding going and casting your ballot at your polling location. Please. Please, don't even look at your face in the mirror in the morning. You're brutto faccia if you do that. Anyway, on the line is Mike Kelly, columnist for The Record. Thanks for joining us on the drive home at 5. Mike?
Hey, Curtis. Thanks for having me.
Okay, you hunkered down in federal court downtown Newark. Jury deliberations underway in the case against Senator Bobby Menendez. What can you tell us so far that has transpired?
Well, not a heck of a lot. The jury has been very quiet all day, Curtis, which could indicate several things. It could indicate that they're just going through the evidence. It could indicate that they're really working hard toward a verdict. But they were very quiet until the end of the day. And at 3:30, they came out, and the juror had one question for the judge. And that question was, what is a senator? I'm not making this up.
Well,
what is a senator?
Wait a second, Mike Kelly. Could you please repeat that an actual juror in the midst of deliberation asked the judge a question, which oftentimes happens during deliberations. And what was the content of this question?
What is a senator? Now, the juror said that she was referring to some commentary in final arguments by Menendez's lawyer, Abby Lowell, in which he talked about the role of a senator. But I just think it's very interesting that this is, and I'm not quite sure what was on this juror's mind. The judge did not go into it, and the judge basically dismissed the question by saying you have to rely on your collective memory. But this is what trials are all about. They're all about the small things. So I think no matter how Menendez the trial goes, whether it's guilty, not guilty, hung jury, split verdict, whatever, it's going to come down to small things and how jurors perceive them. And this is a trial, as you know, of many, many, many small things.
Now, I understand, Mike Kelly, that there's one juror who, when they signed on, the judge, the federal judge hearing this case, promised them that they would be able to go on a pre-scheduled vacation, which I think begins this Thursday. So if they don't have a verdict by Thursday, I'm of the understanding that an alternate juror substitutes for the juror going on vacation, and then they have to start the deliberations from scratch?
Absolutely. This is incredible, Curtis. Can you imagine this? A United States senator, look at it this way. I know you have some major, major misgivings about Menendez, but let's just look at this as flat and as objective as possible. This is a trial of a United States senator, and this judge knew 3 months ago, 2 months ago, that one of the jurors wanted to go on vacation on November 10th, and the judge said, okay, if we're not done, then I'll let you go. Now, we're in jury deliberations now. Today was the second day, tomorrow will be third, Thursday will be the fourth day. Friday, there's no jury deliberation. So if the deliberations are not through by Thursday, this juror will go on vacation, and one of the alternate jurors will step in. Now, the alternates do not sit in on deliberations. They sit through the trial, and they listen to the testimony. But deliberations then have to begin all over again. But let's suppose there is a division of votes in the jury. I mean, this is very complicated here. And I think it just really raises questions about how this judge has conducted this trial.
Now, while the jury has been deliberating, what has been the mood of Senator Menendez and his Medici, his enabler, the infamous Dr. Melgen?
Well, first of all, the two rarely, they have not really exchanged many, many words in court. Dr. Melgen, as your listeners probably know, has already been convicted in another case, and he is not free on bail, so every day he is taken from the courtroom out of sight of the jurors in chains to go back to jail, and he's being held at the Essex County Jail all during this trial. Menendez has not said much. He walks in and out of courtroom. He'll smile a little bit, but he's trying to, I think, maintain a kind of as even keel a mood as possible. But you've got to believe that this has got to be taking a toll on him. I mean, this is essentially the trial of his life. If he loses this, he can go to jail for the rest of his life. If he's found guilty, he's out of the U.S. Senate probably. And so this is really it for him. It's a major, major moment. I'm stating the obvious. It's a major moment in his life.
Now, Mike Kelly, I want to flip the script on you because earlier today, the outgoing governor, Chris Christie, was voting in Mendham when all of a sudden he decided to spark off with a constituent there. And, oh, did he give her grief.
As governor, I can't.
So why didn't you?
I can't.
Well, then why
I don't have the authority to do it.
Well,
you know what? You
so
can
that's why
listen.
I'm
you well, you listen. Go in and vote. Go in and vote for whatever you want. I never said I was going to merge the two towns. I understand. You're so frustrated. And you know what? The easiest thing in the world. The easiest thing in the world is to stand where you stand and stand on the sidelines and critique. And well, you're not. But you're the one here doing the critiquing. So you know what? You want to merge? You live in Mendham Township. Want to merge Mendham Township and Mendham Borough? Run for the township committee. Run for the township committee in Mendham Township and be the voice to do it. No, I know, because that's too hard. It's easier. It's easier to sit here. It's easier to sit here and complain. It's easier.
And I don't have the money like you.
Yeah. Oh, really? I'm sure. I'm sure. Easier to sit here and complain.
Wow, Mike. This governor just will not step down from any confrontation.
No, and you know what's interesting here, Curtis? Listen to two parts of that conversation. First of all, this was a woman who was trying to express something to him. He didn't let her get a word in edgewise. He kept talking over her. That's number one. That's the mark of a bully, number one. It's also the mark of, I think, a person who is just not very polite. But number two, he's an elected official. Elected officials should be accustomed to having people approach them and at least to listen to them and offer some sort of instructions on what they might do. Instead, what he does is he turns it around and he insults her motive for even asking him. And he actually insults her character. In other words, it's too easy for her. It's easy for her to do what she's doing. Really, it's easy for her to walk up to a bully like that and try to confront him. That's easy, I guess. So my point here is that the world has just heard what we've been hearing for 8 years out of Chris Christie, which is this man who is really does not handle criticism very well at all.
Now, you said it's the mark of what, Mike Kelly?
I would say a bully. Yeah.
I would say it's the mark of a potential talk show host, because that's what a lot of us do. We talk over the callers. We shout them down. We scream invectives at them. He's got potential as a talk show host.
Yeah, but Curtis, there's a difference here. You're being paid by ABC. He's being paid by the taxpayers in New Jersey. And there's a real difference there.
No, you're absolutely right. But do appreciate it. That's Mike Kelly. The jury has not come to its verdict yet in the trial against the Complice di Tutti, the crook of all crooks, U.S. Senator Bobby Menendez, who was birthed in, if not the most corrupt Democratic county in America, one of them, Hudson County, New Jersey.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
There's nobody that knows this city better than Curtis Sliwa.
WABCRadio.com.
I said, no, 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 I don't smoke it no more. I'm tired of waking up on the floor. No, thank you, please. It only makes me sneeze. Then it makes it.
Oh, this old jammy, Ringo Starr. And notice he's singing, no, 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 no. He might as well have been doing the musical background for the forces that be that want you to vote no today on the proposition line item, ballot proposition one, for a constitutional convention in the state of New York. And boy, the no people have been out there in force spewing their propaganda, especially the unions, like the UFT, Union of Failed Teachers, which claims it's a member of, now get this, New Yorkers Against Corruption. What an oxymoron that is. This is the group that has marshaled the efforts and the monies. They've raised $10 for every $1 that the Yes Forces have, and it's mostly union dollars because they want to maintain the status quo of corruption in Albany. Now, New York State being the most corrupt in the nation, even more corrupt than the Soprano State in New Jersey. But many of you listening right now, you're in your cars, you're in your vans, you're in your pickup trucks, you're listening to your terrestrial radio, or maybe you're listening on an app, the WABC app, or maybe it's on streaming audio, you know, on your laptop or your work computer, and you're looking at the rain, right? And you're saying, I'm not going to go to my polling location. You know, polls open at 8 o'clock in Jersey, 9 o'clock in New York. Oofa, a double oofa to you. That would be a shanda, not under the goy, a shanda to all, and a double disgrazia. Don't use that as an excuse not to schlep to the polls, even if you don't think that your vote is going to make any difference. But in New York State, it was a neck-and-neck race just up until about 2 weeks ago on the issue of the Constitutional Convention. And then I'm listening this morning to Bernard McGuirk and Sid Rosenbaum. They're on from 9 to 12. And I noticed that Sid and their producer, Jill Vitale, a.k.a. Flirty Flipper, were saying they were going to vote yes on Proposition 1, the ballot issue for a constitutional convention. They didn't necessarily have all the arguments, but they were clearly in the yes corner. And then all of a sudden, Bernard McGuirk, you know, who might as well have been bought and sold for by the PBA and the FDNY, you know, the Firefighters Union, he started coming out and spewing such propaganda and nonsense like, oh, they're going to take you. They're going to take the pensions. They're going to take the pensions.
Well, these ballots are referendums themselves. These Proposition 1, Proposition 2, those are referendums. So you can put anything on a ballot and have the people vote on it. Do it that way. Vote directly. This mysterious constitutional convention, it just seems to me a waste and a way for these sneaky criminals, these council members and state legislature guys and all these people who they're inherently corrupt. I don't trust them.
Yeah, that's because his dad was probably talking to him, you know, former bus driver for the MTA money-taking agency. I think his dad now lives up there in the Irish Himalayas, the Catskills. You know, you have the Jewish Himalayas on one side, the Irish Himalayas on the other side. Well, that's Bernard McGuirk, and he spun Sid Rosenberg like a top. He didn't change, though, Jill Vitale, a.k.a. their producer, Flirty Flipper's mind. And then I fielded some calls on the 12 to 3 hour today with our political director who joined me, Rita Cosby, the first Mr. No, Jack in Brooklyn.
Vote no on Prop 1. Why? Because it's like the wolf guarding the hen house. Let me tell you that it'll cost about $200 million.
Yeah, $200 million. That's bull feathers. You're looking at a cost of about $50 million, well worth every penny, in order to give a badly needed colonic to the most corrupt system of all the political systems in the United States, New York State. And then it was like a tsunami. It's like the first people to hear a no call, like Jack from Brooklyn. It's almost as if, you know, the unions put out the call. That's right, Hammer Sliwa, because he's Mr. Yes. And that was followed up by a call by Dan, who was Mr. No.
Yeah, I think Prop 1's a good idea, but not with these corrupt morons in there. You know, Andrew Cuomo is going to tell you that driving's a privilege. He's probably going to tell you that working's a privilege. You have a bunch of corrupt monsters in there
You see the misinformation? Because what position is Andrew Evilize Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Bruta Cuomo, King Cuomo I, taken? He's voting no. So here is a guy justifying his no vote by saying, oh, yeah, well, you know, if you vote yes, you're going to be giving a license to steal to Andrew Cuomo, the governor of the state of New York. And yet Cuomo's voting no. Let me lay out all the cards on this, ladies and gentlemen. We need term limits desperately in Albany. You look at both sides of the aisle, both the Democrats and the Republicans. They're there in perpetuity. 97% of the incumbents keep getting reelected, reelected, so that they can be a fixture in place for the many lobbyists who then flock to them to wine them, dine them, and pocket line them and get their legislation done. Then you have Carl Hastie, who replaced the Meyer Lansky, a.k.a. the Hyman Roth of the state legislature. That was Sheldon Silver, the crooked one. And then you have Dean the Greek Skelos. Yeah, he and his no-show job son, Adam. And he was replaced by the Lush, the drunk out there in Long Island. What's his name, Flaherty? I got too many hiccups there. He's like half in the bag all the time. So you still got three men in the room, and they still call all the shots, even though they took Shelley Silver out and they took Dean the Greek Skelos out. It's like replaceable parts, the corruptive influences there. And then most importantly, what we need are more initiative and referendums. We need more opportunities for you, the people in New York State, to be able to vote on the issues so that the job of an elected official or an administrator of government is to enforce and put into place the initiative or referendum that have been voted on by the people. And then if an initiative or referendum is shot down every 2 years, you can bring it all back together again. Because you see, the people get passionate over issues. Imagine in both New Jersey and New York, where it's become a hot issue, the recreational use of marijuana. Murphy running for governor today against Guadagno, he is for it. Guadagno's opposed to it. Cuomo, he vacillates like on everything. And whoever challenges him on the Republican side and the other minor candidate sides, and they're going to weigh in on this. Wouldn't it be much better if the people themselves voted on recreational use of marijuana, an up or a down vote on it? As opposed to leaving it to the politicians who you know are going to get wine, dined, and pocket lined by lobbyists for both sides. I leave you on that note. Today, make sure if you're voting in New York State, and you should vote, you vote yes on the proposition ballot number one, vote for a constitutional convention to end corruption in New York State.
Drive at 5 with
Curtis Sliwa. He's really a New York City hero.
Yes.
He's an American hero.
WABCRadio.com.
5:39. So while the president is off in Asia, the Republican leadership, particularly Paul Ryan, is talking about, our tax plan. Don't worry. It's exactly what conservatives and Republicans are going to love. Well, there's one on the line who doesn't love it. In fact, she writes, I'm a conservative and I hate the Republican tax plan. You oftentimes see her editorials in the New York Post. It's Carol Markowitz. Thanks for joining us again, Carol, on the Drive Home at 5.
Thanks so much for having me, Curtis.
Well, Paul Ryan told us that as a conservative Republican, you're going to love this. Yeah. What is it you don't like about it, Carol?
Well, I think it has nothing conservative about it. I haven't been able to locate what part of this plan is conservative. As I say in my piece on Fox News today, this is a Republican plan that targets people wanting to adopt children, homeowners, small businesses, and people with high medical bills. And none of these targets are what we think of as, you know, anti-conservative. So I don't understand what they're point is with this bill. The thinking often is, well, it's better than nothing. In this case, I think nothing is better.
All right. Well, explain to me the marriage tax benefit, how in this plan, because let's face it, a lot of people haven't had a chance to peruse it yet, right. Is different than what presently exists.
Well, my point with the marriage tax benefit is we all hear year after year from conservative politicians like Paul Ryan and all the rest of them, that our tax policy, our tax system is just too complicated. And I completely agree with that. And they all make a big show of showing us these 1,000-page, you know, tax guidelines that none of us understand. And they say they're going to simplify it. Well, if you're not going to simplify it at a time when the Republicans have the presidency, the House, the Senate, when are you going to simplify it? When is this magical day coming that you're actually going to work to make it a flat tax or the fair tax or some other kind of tax that makes sense? And they don't do that. So if they're not doing that and they're not using tax policy to enact conservative goals, then what are they doing?
Well, now, interesting, Carol. I'm scheduled for major surgery in about another month. I don't know yet how much my union SAG-AFTRA is going to cover with its health plan that I'm a participant in and how much is going to be out of pocket. Under this new plan, am I going to be able to write off what could be very exorbitant medical costs?
That's exactly it, Curtis. You're not. That's one of the great, you know, things about, or one of the really terrible things about this plan is that you wouldn't be able to write off those high medical costs, which makes no sense unless the Republicans think that single payer is coming and it's not going to matter. Because what is conservative about not helping people write off their high medical costs? Nothing. So they have to either think single payer is coming, which is amazing because they hold every branch of government, or this is just a convoluted bill that makes no sense. I mean, the Club for Growth has said that they can't, that they don't support this bill because it effectively punishes success. And other conservative groups like the National Federation of Independent Business say that they can't support this bill. These are not liberal groups. These are not liberal think tanks or policy organizations. These are conservative-leaning organizations that are saying we cannot support this plan. It is not conservative.
Okay. Conservatives tend to be very pro-life. And I've heard them oftentimes lecture young ladies when they're considering abortions by saying you really should reconsider and go the adoption route. There are families out there who are desperately in need of a child. And I know that's an expensive proposition, adoption, and you could always write that off, the expenses before. Will you be able to do that with the new Ryan tax plan?
That's another strange target of this bill. You're no longer going to be able to write off adoption fees. And again, it's crazy. What is conservative about that? The thing is, if liberals held the House, the Senate, and the White House, and they designed their tax policy, they would have all of their objectives in the policy. This one has none of the conservative objectives that conservative Republicans have been elected on for many years now. And it doesn't even do any of the, kind of social engineering things that tax policy sometimes will do. And it's a real disappointment.
All right. Now, let's say I'm thinking of swapping out my gas-guzzling jalopy, and I've been convinced that Chevy, the American way, is the right way to go. But the Chevy Volt, the electric car, clearly I'm going to get a tax write-off for that, right? Because I'm saving the Mother Earth. I'm saving the environment.
Right.
I'm not belching out fossil fuels.
There is a tax write-off right now that exists for that. I don't know that the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act will affect it, but that's exactly the kind of social engineering that I'm talking about. That was put into a tax plan to make people conserve oil, and that's like a liberal, fundamentalist goal. And so they got that type of goal into previous tax policies, yet conservatives can't manage to get their goals into a policy where conservatives hold every branch of government.
Now, Speaker of the House Paul Ryan has told us over and over in trying to sell his plan, his tax plan, that this is not going to help Wall Street. This is going to help Main Street, the small mom and pop business owners who are the rock bed of the economy in America. From what you've seen, true or not true?
Absolutely not true. I like Paul Ryan. I've always thought of him as this wonky conservative guy who I trust. And to see this plan come out of the Paul Ryan House of Representatives is mind-boggling. It will do nothing for small businesses. Small businesses will see no change whatsoever unless they are already super successful. And that's just, it makes no sense the way that they've designed this bill.
Why do you think that is, Carol Moskowitz? This has been Paul Ryan's baby ever since he was chosen to run by Mitt Romney as his vice presidential candidate in the last go-round against President Barack Obama. Why is it, do you think so many of these central core issues have been tossed to the wayside?
My feeling is that they are so burned by not being able to overturn Obamacare that they need a win so badly, and they need to show that Republicans can govern, that they threw together this bill and they made all the compromises up front. They were like, we're going to have to compromise, so let's put all the compromises in first, which is just not the way it's done. You have to, especially if you control every branch of government, you have to shoot for what you want and then compromise, not compromise and then compromise further, which is what's going to happen with this bill.
So, Carol, as a resident here of New York, a highly taxed area compared to some of the red states, especially south of the Mason-Dixon line, you're not going to be able to write off the taxes that you pay, the income tax or the property taxes, right?
Right. Well, the property taxes, so the state and local taxes, this is what's interesting. Something like state and local taxes not being able to get written off anymore, it affects me personally. But I can understand what the conservative philosophy is behind that. If you let high tax states write off their interest, you know, their state and local taxes on their federal taxes, lower tax states are paying for that. So I kind of understand that, even though it will affect me personally. But going after the mortgage deduction, that makes no sense. It's, why are we targeting homeowners? Why would you want to stop home ownership or slow down home ownership or have home prices will take a hit if this kind of thing passes?
So you're making me nauseous here, Carol Markowitz. If all of this does come about, if there are no alterations in the final bill, if it passes, what state are you and your family moving to?
I don't know. I'm a New Yorker. I'm like you, you know. I don't know. I don't know that I could go anywhere. I'm a lifelong New Yorker. I never get the representation I want on a local or state level. I hope for it sometimes at the federal level, and that this is what they came up with is just extremely disappointing.
Wow. Okay, you're a lifer, Carol Markowitz. You can actually see her her columns regularly in the New York Post. But at the rate this tax bill would go, those of us who are lifers and who stay, who believe you improve, you don't move, we may end up having to be buried in a cardboard box in Potter's Field.
Curtis Sliwa.
The man of the people.
Between the Scylla and Charybdis of commentary.
The Drive at 5, 77 WABC.
One thing you do not want to do today, as I urge you all, to make sure you get out and vote. The polls in New York are open until 9, 8 o'clock in Jersey. And don't give me as an excuse, oh, it's raining outside, oh, it's raining, it's damp. Oh, come on. What a kya-kya down. What a prevaricator you are. What a Pinocchio. But then again, the biggest Pinocchio of all is the mayor of the city of New York, who over my dead body looks like he's going to be elected to a second term, the part-time dope from Park Slope. Now, remember when he was being investigated by 7 different commissions over corruption at City Hall? Pay for play, City Hall for sale. Lobbyists basically had an easy pass to go in and out of there and get whatever they want as long as they kicked up and donated to the mayor's funds and the mayor's campaign. And then when all of a sudden he was exonerated, but with a slap on the wrist by the U.S. Attorney of the Southern District, Kim, and by Cyrus White Shoes, write out a check, and I'll turn the other way and release your client, Vance. All of a sudden, he was going to be very generous with his own money. Remember what he said originally about who was going to pay for that?
They are, as you know, legal defense funds have been around for decades and decades. And I think very, very clearly are an appropriate tool. Obviously, we were exonerated, but I just don't feel comfortable asking the taxpayers to pay for that piece of the equation.
Okay, he didn't feel comfortable asking us to pay $2 million at that point. Now, to all of his sycophants, toadies, and lackeys who also were under investigation, their legal expenses would pay lock, stock, and barrel by us, the sucker taxpayers. And then right before July 4th, before he headed out to the annual Tavis Day Parade in Staten Island, he announced that, in fact, he was doing a 180-degree turn, that, in fact, we would pay for these bills.
What we're talking about here is a small amount in the scheme of things in terms of the city's legal expenses.
But again, I came to the conclusion it was a consistent standard.
Now, a small amount? Well, apparently we suckers, the taxpayers, going to have to wait until after the election to find out how much those bills totally are. In fact, city officials claim more than 7 months later that they're still calculating the final tab. And de Blasio told reporters Friday, I'm sure our legal beagle team at the law department can get an answer. A law department spokesperson deferred to mayoral spokesperson Eric Phillips, who said the mayor said we'd provide them. We'll provide them when they're complete, as we have always said. And City Hall has earmarked at least $11.6 million for the mayor's tab alone. He owns two homes on near 7th Street in Park Slope, each of them evaluated at more than $1 million. He could take out a mortgage, right? He could take out a loan on that. He should pay his own freaking legal bills. This liar. If you're going to vote, and make sure you vote tonight, make sure you're not re-electing the part-time mayor, the dope from Park Slope.